Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11, the New Living Translation, when Jesus noticed that all who had come to dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, "Give this person your seat." Then you will be embarrassed and you will have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, "Friend, we have a better place for you." Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen. You may go to your seats around the building in the presence of our God. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, He will come and say, "Friend, we have a better place for you." Then you will be honored in front of all of the other guests, elevated by God. Elevated by God. Again, we live in an era now where there are many persons who are their own PR firms. They social media, and of course some have been able to find success in promoting themselves and even trying to put out there for things to go viral with the hope that once things go viral that someone will pick me up, someone will be able to deal with that. I've just finished another book by Angie Thomas, and of course not necessarily Christian reading, because there's a lot of words that in her books. Her most recent book is called On the Come Up. It deals with this young lady. I'm not going to give away the ideas of it, and because it might be turned into a movie. Of course, on the backdrop of her last book, The Hate U Give, which again, now they are competing between 1 and 2 on the New York Times bestseller list. 1 week, The Hate U Give. The next week, it is On the Come Up. Of course, all of it deals in graphic detail about the lives of persons who have been affected by, in terms of negative lifestyles, and of course, the kinds of things, whether we're looking at public education, which is not what it once was and what we once experienced, where now you have persons and it's all the kinds of issues that are coming up, dealing with pedophiles, dealing with individuals and abuse that takes place between teachers and counselors and coaches and teachers getting into relationships with underage students. All of these things are going on today. We've got to pray when we send our children and grandchildren out that they will not be affected in these negative ways. The other day, I was looking at two young men who were as in their youthful days, had the privilege of going to Neverland and being there in the company of the late, great Michael Jackson. But HBO getting ready to release, and already there are the persons in the family which are saying that these things are not true. The backdrop of R. Kelly and even the things that were released on him, which even weeks later you find him behind bars and locked up. This is a strange generation we are now living in, where you can see persons that you can be impressed with in terms of their professional advancements, but if you were to go home with them, you would realize that all that glitters is not gold. Everyone who is in a prime position is not necessarily the kind of model that we need to follow. There are so many bad models. Charles Barkley, who now is one of the commentators on TNT, but when he was playing basketball, he ended up saying he was not a role model, because many of us in younger days, we would utilize persons who got a lot of TV time, and we would point our attention to them as role models. The greatest role model of all times is Jesus. Jesus is able to come, and matter of fact, and with a spectacular birth, and even before his birth, even in pre-birth, there's still great excitement as Mary, this young girl who has been looked over, left out, but then she has been chosen to serve in a critical position, giving birth to our Lord and our Savior. It was Mary in that encounter with her cousin Elizabeth, when even the boys in the inside, John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth and Jesus inside of Mary, where they already start praising and getting excited about future possibilities. That's what God is, a God who is framing and shaping us for future possibilities. He does not make any accidents. He knows exactly what he is doing. And that's why I preached not long ago about how God is a God who shows up on time. God shows up and shows out. You have to understand that to be the reality. So the greatest role model of all times is now having a dialogue. He is Lord and Savior, coming down through 40 and two generations, and able to drop nuggets that are going to help us to navigate life. How is life going to be without the direction and the power of God? How is life going to be if you are going to be left to your own devices, trying to figure out the next steps of your life? But I thank God that the Lord can come, give you just what you need, just when you need it. In this message, as we talk about the elevations that God is able to place in your life, and when God lifts you, you got to keep on loving God. Keep on loving God, because sometimes it might be that God is going to lift you, and you got to ask the question, how high can God lift me before he loses me? Because some people, as they start experiencing success in their lives, they put God on the back burner. Worship is no longer important. It is no longer critical in their lives. You start to think that it's all about you and not about God. Well, that's why in this message that there are three areas that we need to dissect and to look at. Number one, focus on your service, not your seat. A whole lot of people are more concerned with their seat than the service. God is, and Jesus comes. He comes not to occupy a seat, but he comes to serve. He is able to leave a prime seat, and he's able to come and to deal with our everyday lives. That was a book that I read in my youth that were talking about the prince and the pauper. The prince and the pauper, where they end up trading places. them trading spaces. Eddie Murphy ends up turning that into a movie some years later. But you understand that when you know you got it, you don't have to impress anybody. When you know you got the power of God and the wind is behind your back, you don't have to try to go around blowing your trumpet and telling people how great you are. You're great because you are connected to the power of God. You know, there's some people, they legitimize themselves because of what others say about them. But you have to understand that at the end of the day, you have to realize every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess. Number two, we got to look at this thing. The way to rise high is to begin low. If you begin low, then you got room for advancement. Let me drop a nugget on you that the first preaching class I took at New Brunswick Theological Seminary, and let me push the pause button because Sheila Dent, Reverend Sheila Dent, was out in Denver, Colorado last night at Aspen Theological Seminary, and they surprised her by giving her an honorary doctorate degree. So when you see Sheila come back, she's flying back from Denver. I got a text from her this morning because it's snowing in Denver, and she's trying to make it back. But Aspen Theological Seminary ended up conferring upon her an honorary doctorate degree. Let me move back to the message. I just wanted to throw that in since I was talking about seminaries. But the flow of thought was that the first seminary class I took in preaching, I got a B. I got a B. I wanted to figure out why I got a B, because my dad and I were in seminary together, and my dad got an A and I got a B. I didn't understand why he got an A and I got a B. Our professor, he had been invited to preach at my dad's church. I didn't have a church at that time, but he had been invited to preach at my dad's church. So I had the audacity and the boldness to walk into his office and to ask him, what was it that had me to get a B? I think I did what others have done in the class. Why is it that I got a B? The professor said to me, and now he is now going to be the outgoing president of Colgate Rochester in the personage of Dr. Marvin A. McMichael. Marvin A. McMichael was my first seminary professor, and he told me, he said, the reason why I gave you a B is because I don't want you to think you have arrived. Come on, somebody. He said, if I were to give you an A in your first preaching class, it might go to your head. But if I give you a B, you're going to keep on working on that thing. And I got to tell you that even all of these years later, I'm still working on that thing. You got to understand, you can't ever think you have arrived, because you have to understand that God still has room for improvement. The biggest room in our life is the room of improvement, because as long as you're breathing and walking on this human side, you have to understand that is another flashback, that word human, because that's what God is able to do. He's able to make humanity. He's able to breathe into flesh, and flesh, it becomes alive. He's able to reach into the ground and make all of humankind. Let me try to help us on the backdrop of African Black History Month, that you have to understand that we have been made from the very soil. And you got to know that when you're made from the soil, there's going to be some color. Or do I have a witness here? That's nothing but the Bible. If I'm going to put water on the ground and mix water with the ground, it's going to have some color to it. And that's what we look at, that word human, because the first letters of H-U-H-U-E, because the hue is the color. You got to understand that even though we are people of color, you know that God knew what he was doing. You need to understand, let me drop another Black History moment on you, that you need to know that the first depictions of Jesus were not European, but African. It was that, you need to get that. I'm trying to help somebody. The first depictions of Jesus were not
not European. And so now you got person who talking about a white Jesus and all that. What they are essentially saying is they don't know their history. Because if they knew their history, they would realize that Jesus was black before he became white. Somebody ought to be shouting off that right now. And so you got to understand that it was later that Michelangelo said, we need to get a Jesus who looks more European. And so we need to paint us a picture of a Jesus who looks more like us. But you need to understand, I'm not talking race, but grace. Because you got to realize, I got up this morning not because of my race, but I got up because of the grace of God. I'm preaching whether y'all say anything or not. So you got to understand that we are being elevated by God because God is able to reach into our situation, give us just what we need, just when we need it. The third thing I got to tell you is that you got to let the Lord call you to the next level. He can call you to the next level. And when God calls you, there's nothing that anybody else can do about it. No matter, somebody else might try to shatter your dreams and intercept the things that are ahead of you. But when God is getting ready to call you, there's nothing that the world can do about it. That's why the Bible said, if God be for you, he is more than the world against you. And somebody can celebrate that fact because he can meet you in the doctor's room. That's why the old folk used to say he's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. Whatever you need for God to be, he's able to come into your life, give you just what you need. And so it is that Jesus is in a dialogue. And sometimes you got to understand that that's what Jesus is doing with the disciple. Every day was a learning experience. They had on the job training, and because every day they were learning something new, new mercies every day. Just being able to get up another day is another opportunity for you to see the mercy of God, another opportunity for you to experience the grace of God. I thank God for grace. What a wonderful program we had on this past Wednesday. I suggest you get the CD and the DVD as we're able to reflect on our history. And then Joy Thomas Moore was able to talk and to give us some inspirational words. But I thank God that God is a God who is still in the business of elevating. He's elevating. He's lifting us from our low places. And God can call you to the next level. Lazarus, he can tell you about God calling you by name. Because even when God called, he called Lazarus and he came there. And his sister said, you came late. But Jesus said, I'm never late, but I'm always on time. He's been in the grave. No, don't worry about that. All I got to do is call him by name. And if I call him by name, he's going to shake off those grave clothes and walk out of where he is. And I thank God that God is able to specifically call your name. Do I have a witness out there? He called your name. When other people were calling you all other kinds of names, the Lord is calling your name and lifting you and elevating and moving you to a whole new level. Well, let's back up in the text, because number one, you got to focus on your service, not your seat. There are so many people who are so seat concerned, but are not service concerned. They want to sit high, but they want to give low. They want to sit and have distinguished positions, but they don't want to do anything that's going to make a kingdom difference. You make a kingdom difference by your testimony. You make a kingdom difference by allowing the light of the Lord to shine through your life. You make a kingdom difference when you let the devil know you might have meant it for evil, but God can turn that thing all the way around. Jesus is there because he said when Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table. Jesus sees them scrambling for their position and notice that Jesus is watching them like Jesus is always watching us. Matter of fact, there's another great biblical example that it was all offering time. And during the time that it was offering time, Jesus was looking at what everybody was putting in the offering. But there was a little woman out there who said, I'm just going to give all that I have. And she ended up giving all that she had. It was not much. But when you give your not much to God, he's able to multiply. Somebody ought to start shouting right there. You can start celebrating when you put your stuff and you can bring your little mites and put it in the hand of God and then watch God do a miracle. There's some folk in here right now that know we serve a miracle working God. That just gave me a flashback that sometime when we would go home and we would think there was no food in the house and our mother would say, we got food in the house. And I said, where? He said, just sit down. Just start putting the dishes out. Put the utensils out. And then all of a sudden she would start mixing stuff together. And then after she would start mixing stuff together, then the aroma would start to fill the room. I'm messing with somebody right now because I was preaching last night and I talked because now we are living more in a takeout generation. Matter of fact, many of the homes today, we got kitchens that are underutilized. Only thing we do in our kitchen is go in there and warm things up. And then somewhere in the kitchen, there is a drawer that you pull out, and in that drawer are all of the takeout menus of the restaurants you normally go to. And so when you start thinking about your dinner, you start thinking about what's in my takeout menu drawer. But now we also have the ability to go to our phones. And here we are. We can be in church acting all deep, but then we can start reserving a table for how many? How many? We got to make sure. And I'm messing with somebody right now because folks are starting making their brunch reservations and all of that. But you got to understand that Jesus is watching them scrambling as they are trying to get to the head of the table. And Jesus says to them, when you're invited to the wedding feast, let me give you a piece of advice. Don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? It is better to be asked up than to be asked down. That's an embarrassing thing when you're sitting in a position and they tell you, we need your seat. We need you to move from where you are. And I thank God that when God is the one, and we heard the choir singing about how God can be the one who can move in our life. We are moving and being blessed because of the power of God. We are moving and being blessed because God is speaking a word of hope to our life. And no matter what goes on, and you know this was a great week for entertainment. It was a great week for entertainment because I was looking at the trial. I was looking at the testimony by the former fixer. And now the former fixer who has now shifted teams. And then it was interesting to also listen to the people who are trying. They're just going to be loyal all the way to the end. No matter what goes on, it could look left. It could look dark. But yet they're going to call him a liar. They're going to call him a cheat. How can we believe you? Well, you got somebody else that you seem to be trusting every day. And we've seen all of these things turned around. And then he showed you the letter. He showed the letter where he was able to write letters to the institutions where our current president went to. And he threatened them that if you release his grades and release his essay, T scores, that perhaps a suit would be behind that. Well, what kind of grades did he make? What kind of things that were done that you got to feel that we got to let me come out of that? Because somebody said, Reverend, you meddling now. No, I'm not meddling. I'm talking truth. And we got to understand that we got to lift up the truth. We just had a man that they debated, and the main person debating where President Obama was born was the the now president of the United States of America. We spent all of that time trying to figure out about his birth, trying to figure out that he don't know what he's doing. And then all of a sudden, that you meeting with the leader of Korea the other day, and you come out and you are the one who knows how to make a deal. You are the one who throws, you are a businessman. And then you got some sillies out there that ended up voting for him and said, I voted for him because he's a businessman. But his business is not your business. Yeah, I said it. You got to understand that you got to be elevated by God. And the great thing is that...
Come on, clap your hands, everybody.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park.